blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of the Spirit. Oh, I'm washed in His blood.
Church, He has brought me out. Oh, we had our first session. Brother Ben Vernon preached for us, taught for us on the power of the Holy Ghost. And I just want to encourage us today. We look around and we say, well, I was talking, you can be seated this morning. I was talking to the staff before service. I said, recently I was working on a project and putting some tile down. And I don't know how you guys are, but I always, it seems like the older I get, the more I misplace stuff. And I'm like, I know I have a whole tote full of sponges. And you think I could find them? I looked and looked and looked. I mean, how hard is it to misplace a tote full of sponges? I went on a cleaning binge a while back, and I started collecting utility knives and tape measures. And by the time I was done, I had enough tape measures to line up literally across the front of this pulpit. Like, how do I end up with so many tape measures? Well, the same way I end up with so many sponges. I can't find them, so I go buy some more. So I went, got some more sponges, did the project, and what did I do? This past week, I'm digging through, and I found my tote full of sponges. And I laugh. I call my wife in. I say, look at this. She's laughing. She's like, oh, there's all our sponges. You know, after you don't use a sponge for a month or so, what happens to them? They just all dry up, don't they? Especially if it's a natural sponge. And I mean, they were all shriveled up. But you take that sponge, and sometimes that sponge can be just like our lives, can't it? The Holy Ghost is a spiritual rehydrator. So if you're here this morning and you haven't spoken in tongues for a while, don't look around to see who's unsaved or who doesn't have the Holy Ghost or who may not. Ask yourself right now, how thirsty am I? How dry am I? Because when Sister Vicki Vernon gets up to speak this morning, she's going to be speaking about the necessity for receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But also, it's a chance for us, who maybe we've just dried out a little bit. Over the last year, year and a half, it's been pretty easy to dry out. And God's like, I'm here. I want to fill you up. So when you just fall to the ground and splat, you splat Holy Ghost everywhere. If you're a guest of ours, it is an honor to have you here today. Out in our kiosk, we have some little green card that if you're like to fill that out and get that handed back in to the usher and the greeter staff, we would appreciate that. We just like to connect. I think they have a small gift for you out there. I think this week's gift is an all expense paid to I think it's Disney this week. I'm not for sure, but I'm just kidding. It might be a Starbucks card or something. If you want to use it at Disney, I think they might have one there. But anyway, and if you're a church member, and we have some ways, some giving options, I guess, and those are up on behind me on the screen. We've kind of got a new system. This Friday evening, November 5th, we have an all-service, all-church prayer meeting at 7 p.m., and I'd like to encourage you to be there. We have, just so you know, we have three opportunities for you to publicly rehydrate yourself here every week. We have our Sunday morning services, we have our Wednesday evening services, and then we have prayer services. So I want to make sure that then we have November coming up. We have Brother Rufus Parker is going to be here next Sunday. He's our Section 4 presbyter. He's here on Saturday for a men's event. He's going to stay over on Sunday. He's an incredible, dynamic speaker. You will not want to miss Brother Rufus Parker. And then we have Brother Jonathan Mackey that will be here a little bit later, November 14th. And then on November 17th, we have a missionary from Madagascar in the Congo. So we're looking forward to some of these special guests going to be with us. If we could stand this morning, we want to start this off in prayer. And if you have any special need, we have a number of people that are struggling with illnesses and sicknesses. And we've kind of had another wave of COVID kind of go through the congregation. So a lot of folks are kind of struggling with the aftermath of some of this. So let's just pray. If there's someone that you know of that you could just mention their name as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and I thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the power, what we feel here in this place. Lord, I just love feeling your presence, God. I love being with my brothers and my sisters. But I love also being with you, God. And I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon each and every one of us. God, if we need something this morning, Lord, you are here to deliver that to us. Lord, we pray, God, for all of our brothers and sisters that aren't able to make it today because of illness, sickness. I also ask you, Lord, to touch Sister Vicki Vernon as she brings forth the Word of God this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. As we move into a worship set here, just if you would like to remain standing, or if you'd like to sit, it's up to you. God bless you.
been my butter of wood. The one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm not sure, don't expect fire. Shut up in my bottle of wine, the one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bottle of wine, the one that I desire, you're the all-consuming fire in your presence. When I'm at your throne, it's like fire. Shut up in my bottle of wine.
You feel? Oh, thank you so very much to our worship team for ushering in the presence of God. Of course, all of us, we come in with God's Spirit in us. I like what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. It's so great to have Brother and Sister Vernon with us today. And Brother Ben spoke at our first session. I think Sister Vicky has been coming here. We discussed this, Peter and I, Sandon, and we determined it was 1997. It was the first time she came here to minister. So she's been a friend. She's been a mentor. She's been a big sister, an older sister for me. And she's been a blessing to all of us. God bless you, Sister Vicky.
Praise the Lord, which all boils down to, I'm getting really old. How I love being home. I was thinking this morning, wee hours of the morning, how much I love you in this church. And you know, we are blessed that we are a bigger congregation, so sometimes we don't get to interact or shake hands with everybody or give a hug or even speak to one another. And that is really sad to me, because if I had my way about it, I would, even with COVID, give you all, every one of you, a big hug this morning. You are my brothers and sisters. God has a beautiful, wonderful church, and it's all over the world. This right here is a very small part of the church. We talk about church in reference to a building. That's not what the church is. And one day, we're going to be together forever. Forever. And it's not going to be very long. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. I was hoping that when we started talking, and I mean singing, about the Holy Ghost and fire, that you would start pursuing that right then, and that you would just start seeking right then, because I'm telling you what would happen if we all got in one mind, in one accord, if we laid aside our differences, our thoughts about mask wearing and whether we think it's necessary or not, or whether we think leadership's doing the right thing or not, or whether we like that person over there or not, or if we would lay all that aside and get in one mind, I'm telling you the power of the Holy Ghost would fall in here from the front to the back, from side to side. I wouldn't even be standing here if we would have just pursued and just stepped in to the Spirit right then. He's here. This is Holy Ghost Sunday. Holy Ghost Sunday is not just about those who don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. First and foremost, we want them to receive that. But it's about us. You know, you've got to pursue this. He doesn't make you do anything. You got to pursue it. You got to chase God. You got to want it more than anything. And it's for all of us to be refilled today. I feel him in such a beautiful and strong way. You turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. Thank you, Pastor Roy, for allowing us this opportunity. And I'm under your covering today, the covering of my precious husband and the covering of the ministry staff of this church. I see Pastor Seidel back there, all of our lead pastors and ministry staff. I have such confidence in these people and revere them today. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. It's a sad scripture. The last part said, and ye would not. The only reason why you would leave here today without Jesus is because you would not. If you will turn to Psalm 91, a comfort, a very comforting psalm. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And continuing that perhaps later in your reading time, what a wonderful comfort. He wants to gather us under his wings. As the chicken would put her wings around her brood, her little chicks, to comfort them, to protect them. That's all Jesus ever wanted, was to come and die for the sins of this world and gather us unto himself and love us and protect us. Why wouldn't we want such a Savior? One more verse in the book of Acts. Of course, we're going to the book of Acts, the book of salvation. Acts 91 or 9 and 31 says, and had the churches rest throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. In the comfort. It didn't say in the power of the Holy Ghost. We know the Holy Ghost has power. We never want to forget the power that lies within us, because we are children of the King. We are filled with His Spirit and we have the power of the Holy Ghost. But I don't know of one word that is more necessary in the last hour that we are living in, or will become even more necessary, than comfort. We have needed comfort. We have all been through it the last year and a half. We need comfort. The Holy Ghost is the comforter. He sent a comforter. Today, for your hearing, the Lord spoke this to me when I began to pray about this service. Just a girl and her chicken. You may be seated. Just a girl and her chicken. It is so important that we receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that you must be born of water and spirit, or you'll not enter in. When Jesus sent the Holy Ghost the very first time in the book of Acts, we know that they were in one mind and one accord, all in one room. They were sitting and they were praying. The Holy Ghost was poured out. The Bible said it was like cloven tongues of fire. It sat upon each of them. And it says they were all filled. Not one, not, he didn't say it's for you, but you can't have it. Those people that say it's a gift and not everybody gets it, they've missed it. Because it is for every individual. And it is necessary for salvation. It is not just a gift that you can pick and choose whether you want it and seek for it. It is necessary. The power of the Holy Ghost is what's going to take us up when Jesus comes. But it is a comfort, a comforter. As a hen would comfort her little chickens when the wolf is after them and the snare has come. The mother hen will rush to her chickens and gather them under her wings. And then she will make sounds, danger, warning, and she will fight to the death the very enemy of her chickens. And so God was letting us know in other words again, other ways, by human nature, that he wants to comfort us. I ran across a little boy a few weeks back. This is church number 64 this year that we have ministered in. Most weekends we are in about 5 services on the weekend, but we have also done a lot of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays in the week. That's how there have been so many different churches. In this particular church, this little boy came to the children's church, and I noticed that he was struggling to sit still. He was struggling to listen. The Holy Ghost is for everyone, every personality, everyone that is able to understand that they are a sinner, everyone that is able to repent and ask Jesus to clean out their heart. It's for everyone. So no one is left out. He will fill you according to your personality. If you are loud and outgoing and you want to be loud when you receive the Holy Ghost, you will. If you want to be very quiet and you're shy and intimidated, he will fill you quietly. He's a perfect gentleman. This little boy was sitting in the back where his mother brought him in and set him down. And the other children were listening and behaving. And he was under the chair and over the chair and all of that, and people were trying to get him to be still. And when the altar call was given, he had done his level best to listen, but was struggling. He came to the front, and watching this child, I realized that, you know, the turmoil his little mind was in. He knows he's not like everyone else. He knows that he struggles. He knows that he's special, that God is going to use him in a special way, perhaps, if the right voices are speaking into his life. When he came to pray, because I ask all of them to come. See, if I ask all of you to come today, some of you will go out the door. But when I ask all of the children to come, they all come. That's why the Bible said, except you become as a child, you'll not enter in. They all came, including Mr. Wiggleworm, and he's standing right in the middle. And again, he's playing with his shoes, and he's bothering the boy beside him, and all of this. And I asked the children to close their eyes and lift their face and raise their hands and use their playground voice. And we began to talk to the Lord. And when we did, the Holy Ghost moved in there. I mean, the children started weeping, and those that had the Holy Ghost began to speak with other tongues. And some of them that didn't have the Holy Ghost began to speak with other tongues. When the Holy Ghost comes, it's easy to receive. You can't give someone the Holy Ghost. You can't pray with them good enough that they'll get the Holy Ghost. No man comes unless he draws them. He fills them. This little boy was standing right in the middle, and I said, stand up, stand up. Would you like the Holy Ghost? If I hadn't asked him, he would have stayed on the floor playing with his shoes. Would you like the Holy Ghost? He said, yes, I would. I said, well, then you need to close your eyes and raise your little face and lift your hands and let's talk to Jesus. It's really just this simple. He began to talk to Jesus. He said, God, I'm real sorry for my sins, my bad things I did. I'm sorry. And then he opened his eyes and he looked at me. He said, was that good? I said, that was very good. That was very good. Now, what I want you to do is keep doing that and talk to Jesus from your heart, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to put my hand over your eyes so that your eyes won't keep opening. Perhaps some of you here, I put my hand over your eyes when you got the Holy Ghost, because there's a lot of little kids that I've done that for. And so I said, I'm going to put my, and he said, oh, okay. So I held my hand over his eyes, and I began to bind confusion and distraction and loose peace on this child. Lord, plant a seed of healing in his mind that he will understand what you're getting ready to do. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And that little child went from zero to nothing. I mean, boom. He looked at me, his eyes shocked. I moved my hand, and he closed his eyes, and the tears began to flow, and he began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. It was so fluent, and I still had the microphone in my hand, and I held the microphone up, and everyone in the room could hear that child speaking like a grown adult in tongues, a beautiful love language that only comes from the heavenlies, only comes from God. It's supernatural. You can't make it up, and you can't do it wrong. And we watched the manifestation of the Spirit. It was an unlikely moment, an unlikely situation. It doesn't have to be ideal. The setting doesn't have to be just right. It just happened because God said today was a little boy's day. Nothing could have prepared me for what happened next, because he spoke so fluently in tongues, and all of a sudden his eyes flew open and he stopped. And he said, did you hear that? He actually moved in my heart. Did you hear that? And he's bawling. You talk about somebody understanding. I got a comforter. I may be a little boy that doesn't understand what's going on in life, because nobody seems to understand me and my problems, and I don't fit in, and I'm not like the other kids. But all of a sudden, I've got an answer. I've got a comforter. He just moved in, and he's going to be my best friend. Hallelujah. A comforter. I said, yes, I heard that. That's wonderful. Keep going. And when I said that, he closed his eyes and lifted his hands, and he talked in tongues a few more minutes. And every little bit he would stop. I say, did you hear that? He's in my heart. It's for real. That should be our reaction. There should be a comfort that comes with it. It's the most glorious day of your life when you walk to an altar. And I'm afraid some of us have forgotten that day. You need to roll time back and remember that day when you were so desperate for it. You would have done anything for it. You came and you almost begged. You cried. You said, Jesus, I gotta have it. And he moved on you there. And you spoke in a heavenly language. You pursued it. We're not getting refilled because we don't pursue it. Because perhaps we don't need comfort. We have everything. We're America. This is just a drop in the bucket what we're going through right now as to what is coming. The Lord spoke to me to tell the church today, you're going to need this comforter. You don't understand what's happening right now, perhaps, but things are winding up very quickly. And everything that's happened, God is right in the middle of it. It did not take him by surprise. He's not worried. He's not fearful. Oh, no, he's right in the middle of it. It's all unfolding for the greatest day the church has ever known. It is time for us to pursue Jesus like we never have, to talk in tongues more than we ever have in our personal lives, to be closer to him than we've ever been. The comforter. How do we receive such comfort? I've never been anywhere where people needed comfort more than in the nation of Africa. In Uganda, Africa, so very poor. Some of you have heard me speak of it before. But I need today to tell you about a little girl named Balush. When I arrived in Uganda, nothing could have prepared me for the way they lived. The Lord spoke to me before I went and said, I want you to keep your mind on your mission. You're going to want to fix it. You're going to want to give. You're going to want to fix these things that you see, but you cannot. But silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. You're taking me, the comforter, to them. We got on a bus and drove out to the orphanage. It was about 2 hours drive. All along the way, we picked up children that would run alongside the bus. Orphans, alone in the world. A little girl got on the bus, and a bus seat that should hold two people, there were three or four, sometimes more. The bus was crowded and packed, and the stench was terrible. There is no air conditioning. There's a trickle of water that ran out of our sink in the hotel room, and that's all we had for 10 days. There was no fan, no air. When I pulled my covers down on that first night after a long flight of travel, the black bugs ran across my pillow. Big, yeah. We don't know what that's like here. The poverty. The stench that never leaves your nose. When I came home for weeks, I promise you, it was as if I could still smell it. Balush said on the bus beside me, they know no boundaries because they are so happy to see you. People that are going to bring perhaps some money, some snacks, some goodies, some water, some fun because they need comfort. Balush sat on the bus beside me and she put her arm through mine, and she would just rub up and down my arm and look at it, and she would look up at me and smile that big, beautiful smile, but her eyes were so hollow. I gave her everything I had in my purse. I remember her looking in a mirror at herself for the first time, and the look on her face and the shock, and turning her head and then smiling at herself and making faces she'd never seen herself in a real mirror. Went out to the orphanage, and they packed over 1,500 orphans in that one big place. And they're coming and walking as far as you can see in their little hands through the windows. And as far as you can see, they're coming for that service. And they sang with them, and they worshiped the Lord. They were sitting on the floor, children, babies, all the way to teenagers filled that orphanage. And when they turned it to me, I didn't know what to say, because all the things we say here really don't apply there. What I saw was people, little people that needed comfort. And I was so glad in that moment that I knew the answer and I knew the comforter. And that for 51 years, the comforter has been in me and with me. And he's been my best friend. I was so glad in that moment that I had an education and I had pursued the comforter. Because all the power in the world right at that moment wasn't what they needed. They needed comfort. I delivered a message of comfort. It's not always going to be this way. I hope I don't ever have to stand in a pulpit in America and deliver the message that I delivered there. One day, when you lay down to rest, you won't be hungry. You won't be sick. One day you won't be alone. You won't be lonely. One day there'll be plenty. That there's a man and his name is Jesus. He died on the cross for you and he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to take you away to a place where you'll never cry again. You'll never be lonely. You'll never be hungry. You'll never be sick. You'll never be thirsty. I watched their eyes light up. The hope sprang up in their eyes. Why? Because there was a need. It's sad to say a lot of people don't want this comforter. They don't want Jesus until they have a need. Don't make the Lord have to allow circumstances in your life so you'll finally turn to him. Come to him freely. Oh, the hope arose in their little eyes as I began to tell them, you see, things can be really bad here, but the Lord said he would move in your heart and be with you. He'll be your comfort. He wants to be your best friend. He wants to help you so you'll never be alone again. These were children without parents, without families. Many of those children, people came in the night and would steal them out of that orphanage into the sex trafficking trade. I witnessed it while I was there. A little girl I met that simply disappeared. I asked where she was. They came and got her in the night, was the answer. Fear. Fear was tangible. Will I be next? Watching their little peers die of AIDS every day. A hut piled full of children dying of AIDS. Why are you painting this picture? Because I'm trying to tell you they needed a comforter. We need a comforter. We're going through hard times. This is just the beginning of sorrows. If you have ever pursued the Holy Ghost, pursue it now. Get full of the Holy Ghost. Let it comfort you. Get to a place where the moment you open your mouth to pray, the Holy Ghost is there, because the Spirit knows how it ought to pray. When you don't have words, the Holy Ghost will pray. The Bible says it makes intercession for you. Sometimes when you're praying in tongues, you're interceding for yourself. Things you don't even know that you should speak. But yet we're satisfied with one little experience years ago or a few years ago or 30 years ago. And, well, I've got the Holy Ghost now. I've been baptized in Jesus' name and been to the water and I've been baptized. Glory, hallelujah. When he comes, I'm going up. I'm wondering, are we deceived? The Holy Ghost is supposed to live in us, operate through us, be with us, and we are supposed to pursue it. We're supposed to talk in tongues. When? Daily. Get in your prayer language daily. It'll grow. The more you talk in tongues, the bigger it gets. I stood and delivered a message to those children about the Comforter. And when I spoke the word of faith, I saw and heard a sound. And I didn't recognize it first until I looked and looked around. And it was their little bare feet slapping all at one time on that floor. They had jumped to their feet and their feet were pounding as the Holy Ghost from the back to the front came in a wave. I had never seen anything like it, but nor had I ever seen anybody more hungry. All of a sudden, I mean like the upper room, the Holy Ghost fell in that orphanage, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. The tears rolling down their cheeks, they were shaking under the power of the Holy Ghost. The manifestation was real. Hallelujah. There were those who were interpreters walking among them and listening, and they were verifying, yes, 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 without fail, up and down every row. I mean, literally, every one of them were filled. They had their little hands in the window shaking, speaking in tongues. There were people working with the ones out in the yard. They were speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And I looked. And there was Balush, my little friend, who rode with me on the bus. She rode with me every day. We went out to the orphanages 4 times, and there was Balush. She'd look for me every day. She sat by me on the bus. I gave her a pair of sunglasses. She wore them every day. There she was, holding my arm and smiling up at me. But something changed. The hollow look went out of those eyes. Her eyes began to sparkle. Why? Because the Comforter had come. The Holy Ghost had filled her. On that Sunday, when I delivered that message, all I knew is once you receive the Holy Ghost, you need to finish the plan of salvation. You must be born of water and Spirit. Doesn't matter what order you do it, but you must do both. So I talked to the children about baptism, and then I gave a call. Those of you who are ready to be baptized, make your way out this door over here, and they got up from all over that room, and the devil said, look what you've done. They'll all go running out. Oh, no, they didn't. They got up one by one and went slowly. There were 207 of them outside the door, and they were taking their names when a clap of thunder came. The torrential rains began to fall, and I questioned, what is happening here? I just gave a call for those to be baptized, and now the rains are falling. They came and grabbed me by the arm. Get in the bus. Come on, sister, get in the bus. The roads are washing out. You won't be able to get out of here if you don't go now. And so I went and got on the bus, and I had my head to the window and I'm weeping because the torrential rains are falling and we did not get to baptize those 207 children. We go back to the hotel and the Lord is just comforting me. Remember, this is my work, not yours. I'm in charge here. We can't make anything happen. I was questioning, was I disobedient? Did I do the wrong thing? You know, that's what we do. The devil comes to us with intimidation and accusation. That's his two biggest tools. Before I minister, he comes with intimidation. When I'm done, he comes with accusation. I ministered for 35 years. He never lets up. So we got on the bus and went back out, and here's Belush. She comes on the bus, puts her arm in mine, and snuggles up, and we go back out, and when we get out, the sun is shining. And the pastor, the local pastor, came and he said, "Sister Vicki, you had no idea what you did yesterday. We don't baptize without scheduling because we have no water here. We have to hire buses. It costs a lot of money. We have to pile them on buses and drive them out to the bodies of water to baptize." And when you announced that, I thought, oh no, what are we going to do? And we had 207 ready to baptize, and then the rains came. He said, "You understand this is not the rainy season. We don't have rain right now. It's not predicted." He said, "But I must tell you that there is a swamp just within walking distance that filled up overnight, waist high to a man. And we're going to take these children this morning and baptize them in Jesus' name." You see, it's his work. Your name is on his calendar. We can't make these things happen. Church, we can't be good enough to make these things happen. The Lord does the drawing. He fills people. We're such a small part of this. We walked along a narrow path that had, for lack of a better word, the bush, the hedges, so close that you could hardly walk up this little path. And the children were singing at the top of their lungs, "Jesus is better, better, better than anything." And we walked and it broke open into a body of water, a swamp. Leeches, snakes, our men. There were four of our Pentecostal preachers down in that water, waist high to a man with the leeches and the snakes. "You'll do whatever you have to do for us all." And those children were jumping off of the sides into that water. When they got finished counting, there were 207 of them. Belush was one. I got to watch her go down in the water in Jesus' name. Those children didn't say, "Well, I've checked one thing off the list. I got the Holy Ghost yesterday. But, you know, today I'm doing baptism. I'll check that off the list." Oh, no. When they came up out of the water, they were shouting and dancing and talking in tongues. They couldn't get enough of this comforter. This Holy Ghost, I guarantee you those children continue to talk in tongues to this day because it's the comforter. They needed a comforter. Hallelujah. Would you come to the keyboard and play softly for me? The praise team can come in a little bit. 207 baptized in Jesus' name. Over 1,500 filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've seen people filled with the Holy Ghost all over the world. In Guam and the Micronesian Islands. In Paris and Milan, France. In Australia. Many, many cities and areas in Australia. In Malawi, Africa, and Uganda. All over the world. And you know what? Every single one of them came the same way. You didn't think I'd come today without my hearts, did you? Every single one of them brought their heart to Jesus. Every single one of them pursued the Lord. They said, "Jesus, I'm sorry. I understand I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Please clean out my heart. I'm going to try not to do those things anymore." Repentance is turning away from your old life. Where people get in a mess is they still want their old life. It's hard, really hard to live for God and to be refilled with the Holy Ghost when you've got sin. You keep falling back into sin. Quit making it hard on yourself. And when you bring your heart to Jesus and you repent and you say, "Jesus, please forgive me," the moment you say it, with one sweep of his hand, he cleans all of that out. Comforting feels so good to have a clean heart. I never met anyone that said, oh, when the Lord forgave me, I felt terrible. I remember when I was a kid, I was 9, and I mean, how many sins could I have committed? I lied to my mom a few times. Maybe I was mean to my sister. But I remember how clean I felt. Nobody was rushing me to talk in tongues. I savored that moment of I am clean. I'm forgiven. He's forgotten about every bad thing I've done. Repentance is so comforting. The Bible says repent and be baptized. All of that sin makes a mess of your life, and it does not disappear until you go to the water in Jesus' name. The only way anybody was ever baptized in the Bible was in Jesus' name, by going under the water. If you haven't done that, do it today. Don't wait. It is the plan of salvation. And you shall receive, not maybe, not might, not if you're good, or if you pray long enough or hard enough. No, you shall receive the gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of a brand new heart. He takes away your old stony heart and gives you a brand new heart. It's a little girl on the front row in Africa. I couldn't get to all of them when they were talking in tongues, but I stepped down to the front row. There was a little 6-year-old girl, and the tears, buckets of tears just rolling down her cheeks and her little hands shaking. And I leaned down and listened. She was saying, I love you, my Savior. You are my King. I worship you, my Savior. Very broken English. I called the interpreter over. I said, listen to this child. She knows English. When he leaned down, he broke and began to weep and sob. And he looked up at me and the tears rolling. He said, she knows not a word of English. She's speaking with other tongues. The Lord had given her a foreign tongue. She was speaking in fluent English. You think this isn't real? Is there somebody among us that says, now, wait a minute. I'll tell you what, there should not be a doubt that this is real. I got to hear a child, 6 years old, receive the Holy Ghost speaking English. He fills you all the way up to here, and you have words that come to your mind that you've never said before. And you have a choice right then to either say them or not say them. And if you make the right choice, you're going to open your mouth and move your lips and tongue and speak those syllables, those sounds, those words out of your mouth. You can't do them wrong. And with that comes a bubbling, a power, enough that a little boy would look at me and say, did you see that? He really moved in. The Comforter has come. So on the last day, I'm on the bus and we're going to say goodbye. The services are over. And when the bus stops to pick up children along the way, I don't see my little friend. Finally, I scooted over and other children had piled in, and I'm looking out the bus window saying goodbye to this poor, poor country. Praying over this country. When I feel the most awful feeling on my feet, I have on open-toed sandals. It's hot over there. It was 100 degrees, and I have open shoes. And all of a sudden, the only way I can explain it, there is flailing and pecking and squawking and unusual happenings on my feet. And I recoil, and I try to bring my feet up, and I'm looking down, and it's all happening so fast. And there is a chicken. A chicken, if you can call it that. It's a fourth of the size of our chickens here, because they don't shoot them up with hormones or anything. I mean, the little chicken legs, when they fry them, there's not as much meat as there is on my thumb when they serve fried chicken. They are so poor that if a family has a chicken, they are considered pretty wealthy because a chicken, I mean, that is it over there. You just can't get better than your own chicken. We are so spoiled. We throw away more than what they have in a month at a meal. A chicken is everything. And this chicken is flopping and flapping, and I'm not thinking about all of that right at the moment. I'm thinking that I'm not a farm girl, and I don't want this chicken on my feet, and I'm reacting, okay? I'm recoiling, and I turn, and here is this bright, beautiful smile, and here's Belush, and she's already linked her arm in mine. She's pushed the other kids out of the way because she's my special friend. And I look at her, and I said, "Is that yours?" She knows a little broken English, a little sign language, and she said, "Huh?" I said, "Get that chicken off the bus. Get the chicken and take it off the bus." And she bends over and she grabs the chicken by the legs and throws it over her shoulder. And she gets through somehow all the people and gets to the bus driver. And he lets her off and she throws the chicken in the yard. And she comes back and she makes her way up the aisle and she sits down beside me and she doesn't link her arm in mine. She's got her hands in her lap and her head's down. And I turn to look as the bus drives off and the tears are streaming down her cheeks. I said, "Belush, what's the matter? What's the matter?" She said, "It was my gift. My gift to you." I wrapped Belush up in my arms. And the Lord said, "Unlike so many, she wants to give her best. Her best, all she had, food. Because she had received the Comforter. She had received hope. She had been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with this special, precious gift. And there was nothing she could do to repay or to say thank you any better than to bring the one thing that meant the most. May I ask you today, are you giving your best? Are you pursuing Him? Are you being refilled? Do you have a prayer life? Are you walking with Him? Or is this just a Sunday, Wednesday thing? Are you praying at home and talking in tongues at home? Last year should have taught us that we can't count on these doors staying open. We don't know what the future is going to hold. We need to quit bickering among ourselves and letting the devil distract us from what the mission is. We got to have enough Holy Ghost in our home to pray through, to pray our families through, to win the lost in this last hour. We don't have much time. And we're missing it because we're allowing division to come and we're fighting among ourselves. Instead of remembering, we are the church. And what the world is doing doesn't really matter. We have to obey the laws of the land and we have to do what we have to do to abide here. And we have to follow our pastor, bottom line. And the rest of it, we should be walking hand in hand. Because anytime the Holy Ghost was poured out, it was in one mind and one accord. We won't have people get the Holy Ghost unless we get together in sync. That's what one accord means, together, in sync. Not somebody playing one tune over here and somebody playing another tune over there. And somebody can't talk to somebody over here and somebody's complaining about that over there. The Lord is so sad when He sees His end time church. We've forgotten our mission. The moment we get in one accord, He'll start bringing them in like He promised. We'll have so many people lined up to be baptized. They'll be coming out that door right there. They'll be down the hall. And we'll have so many people filled with the Holy Ghost. We won't be able to count them all. Once the church gets back in sync. The devil knew exactly what he would do with COVID. He would cause division. Ask yourself, am I a part of the division? Am I one that's spewing and that's all that's on my mind? You know, you can't sit down and have a conversation with anybody. You can't go out for a dinner. What's the subject that comes up? COVID. Who had it? How bad they had it? Who died? A lot of deaths. It's been tragic. But I wonder how many people have recovered because the Lord decided not to take them home. He wants them to stick around a while to win the lost. And we're not talking about all the people, myself included, that recovered, that God healed. This isn't too big for God. The Comforter has come. Would you leave today without His comfort? What do you need today? You need Him. So today, this is not just for those who don't have the Holy Ghost. We're all going to be filled. We're not going to come and kneel. We're going to come and stand. We're going to lift our hands and we're going to repent of anything we need to repent of. Because He doesn't move in an unclean vessel. And then we're going to believe. I'm going to speak a word of faith and the Holy Ghost is going to fall. It's going to come like a wave. If you don't like this and you don't want it and you don't believe it and you need lunch, then please don't stick around because we need faith, not fear. Faith, not anger, not division. We need faith in this one mind and one accord in this place. Would you stand with me? Is there anyone who has never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? If you have not, today's your day. And I know it's a little hard because there's a lot of people in here, but they all are very lovely and kind and they love you. And you don't have to be afraid, but you may come and stand right in the middle up here so that we know who you are. Anybody that you've never talked in tongues before. Children, last weekend there were 17 filled. 3 were grown men. 2 were ladies. There were several teenagers and children, all ages. See, the first ones to come are the children, always. Anybody else? You've never spoken in tongues before. Come on. We need some adults as well. Look here. He's the leader. Oh, there's somebody else. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. There's a young lady that needs the Holy Ghost. I'll find you. Come on. Come. All right, now I wonder, is there anybody that wants to be refilled? And I'm talking about you have made up your mind today, I'm going to be refilled. I want you to come and fill the front. Move closer so other people can come. You said, I'm coming today and I'm going to be refilled. This gentleman right here, step right up here. Come on, there's some others. You want to be refilled. The leadership and the singers are coming, but the leadership of this church should already be coming, always. The altar workers. Oh, the presence of the Lord is so real. Hallelujah. He's here. Okay, so now, anybody that wants to talk in tongues again, you have the Holy Ghost, but you want to pray in tongues again, I want you to get out of your seats, move in the aisles, fill the front. Now, for the privacy of these people that are coming and so on, I'm going to ask them to turn the cameras off at home. I want you to pray. The Holy Ghost is going to fill your room wherever you are, and you can speak with tongues at home. But now we're turning these cameras off. Fill in. Fill in. You see, pursue it. How bad do you want it? Cross this building. Close your eyes. Raise your face and lift your hands. I want you to begin to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I've done wrong. I'm sorry for my attitudes. If something comes to your mind, speak it. I'm sorry, Lord, that I lied. I'm sorry, Lord, that I looked at something inappropriate. I'm sorry, Jesus, for all the times I failed you. Please forgive me. Something's going to happen today, and what you get today, you're going to take home with you. It's going to be the comforter. You're going to begin to talk in tongues more in the car and at home. You're going to be pursued by the Lord because you pursued Him. Come on, I feel that in the Holy Ghost. This is going to change some people today. It's coming like a wave, like it did on the day of Pentecost. There's going to be a sound. there's going to be a sound come from your mouth. I don't want you to whisper that sound. When you begin to talk in tongues, I want you to turn the volume up. And I want you to talk in tongues loud. Here it comes, a wave of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. There are children already talking in tongues up here. Come on, receive ye. There's young people talking in tongues. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Every adult should be talking in tongues now. Come on, turn your volume up. The sound of a rushing mighty wind has filled the house. That's it. Come on. Bigger than you ever have. Louder than you ever have. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Wonderful name of all names, Jesus, the only name that brings healing and strength. And when I speak your name, mountains move and chains are loosed. When I speak your name, darkness flees. It has no hold on me.
Jesus, the most beautiful name.
Yeah.
free to continue praying. I just want to bring a couple. This Shia, which a lot of you may know, Sister Elise Butterfield, James and Audrey Hawk's daughter, or granddaughter, she's in the hospital. You could pray for her. Also, Sister Carla Kryaski, Brother Ted just took her in this morning. Brother Ted has COVID, and Sister Carla has struggled for years with a compromised immune system. So she probably was the first one around here to wear masks to church consistently because of that. But we need to pray for Sister Carla, because this could be potentially pretty difficult for her. Then also Brother Tom Nelson is supposed to be out of the hospital tomorrow, but they're not for sure. So just continue to pray for Brother Tom Nelson this coming week. Tom and Diane, it's difficult when a husband or a wife is sick. It's difficult to kind of deal with that. It kind of wears you out a little bit. So that also, our church in Watertown, which many of you, we've got pretty close connections with Brother Chris Jansen, Brother Caldwell, which was their, kind of their bishop, I guess you could say. He's had some health issues, and he had a massive heart attack yesterday, and he did not make it, and he passed away yesterday morning, I guess somewhere around 11 o'clock. So let's just remember the church there in Watertown, as Brother Jansen navigates through all of this. I mean, this is a difficult time for the church there. So all of these needs, before we leave, let's just take a few minutes if we can. Lord, we pray, Lord, all of these situations, God, that they're really out of our hands, Lord. I don't possess the power, I don't possess the ability to heal any of them, Lord, but you do, God. God, your word says we're two or three gather your name. I pray, God, for my young sister Shia. Lord, the sickle cell anemia, Lord, that has gripped her body. I pray, God, that you would touch her, God. That you would heal her body. Take away this condition, Lord. I pray, Lord, for Sister Carla Kryaski, who has a immune system that's been compromised, Lord, through sickness. And I ask you, God, to touch her, God, right now today, Lord, as her and Ted navigate through the hospital, Lord, the emergency room, wherever they are, that your hand would be upon them and that you would touch them, Lord. I also pray, God, for Brother Tom Nelson, who's recovering from COVID, SARS. Lord, it's been a long, long road for my brother, and I pray, God, that your hand would be upon him. Touch him. Touch Sister Diane. Give them strength, Lord. I also pray, God, for our brothers and sisters in Watertown who've lost their bishop. God, Brother Caldwell was a pastor for decades, Lord, in Watertown. And I pray, God, that you would send comfort to the church. Send comfort to the Caldwell family. Touch Brother Chris Jansen, their pastor, Lord, as he navigates and leads the church through this difficult, difficult hour. Lord, I thank you, God, for what you have done here today among us in our midst, Lord. God, you are such a comfort, God. Lord, I appreciate, God, I appreciate the power, the authority that you give us in your name. Lord, your word says we can cast out demons. We can talk to sicknesses. We can command sickness. But God, also, Lord, when we're tired, when we're worn out, when we're frustrated, God, you are that comfort. God, you are that arm that just wraps around us and holds us and lets us know that you got it all in control and that everything it's going to be all right. Aren't we thankful? Aren't you thankful this morning? Thank you, Sister Vicki, and thank you, Brother Ben, for ministering to us today. Love you all. Appreciate you all. Don't, you know, when I was younger, 12. I think I got the Holy Ghost when I was 12 years old. I used to think that every time I did something wrong, it would jump out of me. And every time I spoke in tongues, it would come back into me. I didn't quite understand how repentance and all that works. But the key to refilling, refurbishing, filling your sponge up every day with God's Spirit is repentance. That's the key. Because when we stop repenting, He stops rehydrating. Did you know that? It's repentance that's the key. So every day, repent. And expect to be refilled every day. God bless you. Thank you again, Brother and Sister Vernon. And we have our VOSIS. We'll be in here in about 25 minutes. And so I'm not saying that you have to leave, but just be aware that VOSIS will be coming in and they'll be starting their music practice and all of that stuff into our worship team this morning. Thank you so very much, Sister Abby.